So today, let's do a quick prayer, and then let's jump into the Word of God, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we're so thankful that we can come to you today and every day. You're always available to us, and we're going to hear you today invite us to come, to actually come to you in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our spirit, in our soul, in our inner woman or man, and to just come to you and to come to know you that way. So help us to hear your word, Lord, today. We give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I made a quote from Augustine, or Augustine, depending upon how you say his name. But he's the guy who said, God, you've made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. God, you've made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. We're reading a text of scripture today that helps us to follow Jesus together. This is our title for this series that we're going through. And today, this is following Jesus to rest. And I'd like us to read this passage. So here it is. And if you're here, I wonder if you'd stand as we read this text. And we'll just read it off the screen. But those of you at home, you might want to do the same thing. Just read this out loud. Help your kids to read it as well. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. And here's what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, thanks. You can be seated. This is simple, right? It's just a couple of verses, but very, very powerful. I want to make some observations, first of all, as we look at this. And these are four P's. If you like alliteration, here you go right off the bat. The first thing is that this is very personal. All right? It's Jesus. And he says, come to me. He's not giving some big theological thing that's hard to understand. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. It's just really simple, and it's very, very personal. The second thing is, it's poetic. There are several pairs of things here that you can see, like this idea of weary and burdened, this pair of things. He says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A couple of things. That he's gentle and humble in heart. There's a poetic tone to this. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see the pairs that he gives to us, it's very poetic. It's also practical. You look at the verbs that are there, come, that's something we can do. It's practical. I'll give you something. You can take it. And there's stuff happening in this text, right? It's very practical. It's not this big theological argument. And the last thing is that it's peaceful. If you read this thing and you compare it to the news that you heard this morning or last week or whatever, you probably heard stuff about riots in Colombia, South America, maybe about sexual assault, maybe about COVID, and about people complaining about it. Maybe you heard about people dying or all kinds of things. Listen to this text. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's peaceful, isn't it? Really peaceful. So as we take a look at this text today, I'd like us to see, first of all, the invitation. The invitation is, come. Just come. Like, it's really simple, Jesus giving this invitation. Do you know, if somebody says to you, come, would you come to our house Friday night for supper or something? It means they want you there. They like you. They value you. Someone's presence is actually desired. So here in this case, Jesus is inviting you. He says, would you come? I'd like relationship with you. I'd like us to spend some time together. Jesus, imagine this, the Son of God, God the Son, inviting you to come to him. It triggers a response, doesn't it? Do I want to go to him? Do I need him? Is this important that I would come to Jesus? I mean, he's inviting me. It's a nice invitation. But do I want to go? So it throws us into this kind of situation where we say, well, what's my response going to be? Am I going to come to him or am I not? This is really important. Second thing we see here is that there's a qualification. And the qualification is, come unto me all. All? Like, that's a lot, right? Jesus' invitation is to all. Now, I know that there are some leanings in theology that say that God does not really invite all. God is not interested in all. God does not love all. But when we see Jesus, who is the exact representation of God, and we see him say, come unto me, all of you. We see the heart of God, that the Father wants his kids back. You want the story of the whole Bible? The Father wants his kids back. God does everything possible to bring us back to him. And here we see Jesus saying, come to me, all of you. I could misquote the Bible for you this morning, and I will. Just like last week, remember I said you can sometimes misquote the Bible to make a point? So here's a point. God sorta loved a little bit of the world. It's not every, but that he gave his only begotten son. You would say to me, hey, wait a minute. It says that God so loved the world. Here's Jesus saying, come to me, all of you. But he does qualify it a bit, doesn't he? He says, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, or if you're or heavy laden, if you're reading the ESV. The two words are a little bit different. It's one of the pairs, poetic pairs. Weary means exhausted from hard work, and there may be numbers of you this morning who are listening, and you say, yeah, I'm a frontline worker. I'm exhausted from all the hard work. I don't know how I can go on, actually. Or maybe you're a teacher. Or whatever your situation, maybe you're a mom who's been at home and your kids are home all the time and you're trying to do school online and everything else. You just say, oh, I'm just exhausted from all the hard work. But the second word is different. It's heavy burdened. It means you're carrying an oppressive emotional load. It's not just a physical exhaustion. It's an oppressive emotional load. Now, can I say this? COVID has been a heavy, oppressive emotional load for many people. It really has. We can't deny COVID. We only have to look at India, look at Brazil, that denied COVID for a long time and has gotten in terrible situation. We just have to look at Toronto. I want to ask you this morning if you'd pray for a friend of mine who lives in Brantford. He's a youth pastor. He's sick with COVID right now. He's in the hospital. He's in intensive care. And they don't know if he's going to live or die. His name is Mark. His wife is Teresa. And Lord, we pray for Mark and Teresa. They're heavy burdened at this time. As they go through this time, all those who know them are. And we think of all of those who are weary and heavy burdened, Lord. We ask you by your grace that they'll find your rest. And we pray for Mark that you will heal this young man, Lord, and continue to use him as a youth pastor. Thank you, Lord. Weary and heavy burdened. I want to read to you a little letter here, and you tell me what you think. This is from a young person. I was desperate. I could not turn off the dark thoughts. No matter how hard I tried or how much I prayed, I spent the whole weekend in bed. The crying would not stop. I got really scared. I've had bouts of depression before, but it was kind of like a cloud I've learned to live with. But this time was different. I felt like I was going under, like I'd never feel hope again. Now, some of you might say, oh, this person can't be a Christian. Christians don't go through that. This person is a Christian. This person loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might say, well, that person shouldn't feel that way. You know, they just have to get the joy of the Lord. That's all. Just try harder. This person does feel this way. And as a follower of Jesus, this person is weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened, carrying an oppressive emotional load. And you know what I think? That the church at large, I'm not talking about CBC because I don't know really about Community Bible Church, but the church at large has not done a really good job of helping people who have mental and emotional struggles. And we need to, because Jesus does. He says, come unto me if you're feeling this way. And you know what? We as brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, at Community Bible Church, don't run away if you have mental, emotional problems. Come, because we want to put our arms around you and walk with you through the difficulties. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We're brothers and sisters. So Jesus says, come, because he really cares when we're weary and when we're heavy laden. Now, another issue in this context is that Jesus was speaking to people who, in the first century, who had a religious system that was exhausting for everybody. And it was actually unattainable, unreachable for most people. There were sort of the elite who were able to do this, well-educated and rich and so on, and they had time to study the Old Testament law and do all the stuff. But for most everybody like us, ordinary people, it was impossible, unreachable. And so imagine yourself in the crowd of Jesus' day. You know all the Jewish rules. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments, right? They had added hundreds of commandments on top of those, and you were supposed to keep all this stuff. And there were ways of washing yourself. There were rituals for cleansing yourself. There were sacrifices that you had to make of a dove or a sheep or a goat or a bull or something like this. If different things had happened or you had done, it was exhausting. And the whole religious system was built on this idea that our sins have separated us from God, and God is here, and we are here, and we have to do everything we can to try to work our way up to God, to please him, to offer all these things to please God. Exhausting system. And you know what? All religion is like this. It's rules, it's laws, and you never know if you've done enough. And there's no rest, because you always have to do more. And Jesus comes to this crowd of people, and he says, come to me. If you find this old system of religion and laws and so on, if you find it exhausting, if you're weary and heavy burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. If your heart is open, come to me, Jesus says, and I'll give you rest from all of this religious labor. Do you remember Easter? I had the privilege of speaking here at Easter, and we were saying that the moment Jesus died on the cross, that big curtain that was in the temple that kept people out, was torn in two. This thing was thick and heavy, and it was torn in two from top to bottom. So this whole system that said, stay out, the curtain symbolized that. Stay out. You're not righteous enough. You're not good enough. You're not a saint. You stay out, and only the high priest can come in once a year, and he was filled with fear. God, the moment Jesus died, God ripped that curtain apart, and he said, now it's time to come in, just as you are, just as you are. Come in here, and I'll clean you up. I'll forgive you, because Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took all the garbage of our sin and our shame and all of that kind of stuff and the guilt of it all, and he paid the penalty for it. And now he says, come in, get past all that religious junk, and come to me, he said, into personal relationship. I'll forgive you all your sins. I'll wash you clean. Well, you say, oh, but I'm not righteous. And God says, well, if you'll come in here, I'll declare you righteous, and I'll treat you that way. That's what justification means, a big theological term. God declares us righteous, and he treats us that way. You say, well, I'm not really acceptable, you know. And God says, look, get in here. I'll adopt you as my daughter or my son, because if you'll come to me, I'll receive you. You say, well, no, I'm not clean. I know my life. I'm not clean. And God says, you know what Jesus did on the cross? If you'll believe in him and follow him, he'll just wash it all away. And I'll call you a saint, because that's what a saint is. A cleansed person, a holy one. Oh, what an incredible offer this is, eh? So these people are here in this exhausting system, and Jesus offers them rest. Now, what is this offer? We enter the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter into his presence. Is this a physical rest? I just have a question here. Well, you know what? It could be. Sometimes people are so troubled by conscience and shame and guilt from the past and so on, they can't sleep well and so on. And you know what? When you receive Jesus and there becomes this rest and this peace in your heart, you sleep better, like physical sleep better. And the scripture says that God gives his beloved sleep. Rest. But you know what? It's actually more than that. It's really because Jesus says here, you'll find rest for your soul, your inner person. And what he's saying is there's going to be a calm that comes into your life, a peace, a serenity in a time of trouble, COVID or whatever else is happening to you, a serenity. You have found a safe place in the presence of the living God. And you're not agitated about that, because he has accepted you and accepted me, and we enter the rest of the Lord. You know what? When I was younger and I thought about this idea of coming to Jesus and finding rest, I thought, I don't want to find rest. That sounds boring. I want adventure. I want to travel. I want activity. I want a full life. You know what I've found is that coming to Jesus and beginning to follow him, you find adventure. You find a life that's full. But in the midst of it all, whatever happens in the highs and the lows of life, there's this peace of God that is beyond our understanding, that can fill our hearts and guard us. This is, we're entering the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not work to achieve our relationship with God. It comes as a gift. That's what he says. Come to me and I'll give you this rest. It comes as a gift. But then after we receive that gift, we'd love to serve Jesus. We love to walk with him and to adventure with Jesus as we follow him. I want to give you an example. There's a man by the name of Tim Keller. Some of you have probably read his books. I know that Byron has referred to him before, because Tim Keller has written some fantastic books. He's a very eloquent man of God. Anyway, he wrote a book 2 years ago. It was called On Death. Death. He had walked with a lot of people as they faced death, and he had brought them comfort from the Word of God and from the presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so he wrote a book on this. 1 month after the book was published, he received news that he has pancreatic cancer. This is a bad cancer. This takes people out fast. And here's what he wrote. He wrote an article for The Atlantic. If you're interested in the whole article, you just Google The Atlantic, Tim Keller, On Death. And here's what he says. When we got the diagnosis, my wife Kathy and I spent much time in tears and disbelief. You say, wait a minute, this is a man of faith. What is this? He said, we were in denial. I found myself saying, this can't happen to me. He was just about 70 years old. You might say, oh, well, that's pretty old. But he was thinking, this happens to people when they're like 85 or 95 or 100. It doesn't happen at 70. And when he heard these words coming out of his mouth, he said, I realized this, I was living in a delusion. This delusion had been the actual operating principle of my heart, that I would not be dying anytime soon. And he had to wrestle with that because his peace and his rest was gone for a little bit. But here's what he says in the article. As he wrestled with the Lord through this, he did four things. I'll tell them to you fast. But the first thing was this. He accepted the reality of his death. Whether it was sooner or later, he accepted the reality of his death. Okay, Lord, I know I'm gonna come to you. Okay, I received that. The second thing he did was he went to the Psalms, and he read through the Psalms over and over. And the Psalms, numbers of these are lament Psalms, where the author just pours out his grief, crying out to God about the disappointments of life and the struggles of life, and, oh God, why does this happen? And he read these things, and he found that in the Psalms, that was him talking to God as he wrestled with God over his coming death. The third thing he did was he started to be really careful about what he said to himself, his inner, inside conversations. And he started to speak to himself the words of God rather than fear. For example, from Psalm 42, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God. Forget not all his benefits. And as he started to say these, he'd start to get discouraged, and he'd say, oh, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so discouraged? Hope in God. Oh, yes. And those words of truth lifted him up and helped him and brought him back to the rest of Christ. And the fourth thing he did was he meditated on Jesus' death and resurrection. He spent time reading through the text of Scripture and just thinking about Jesus and his death and resurrection and saying, you know what? Suffering is a part of life. Death is a part of life. But it's not the end. It is not the end. Jesus really resurrected. The disciples saw him. He ate food. They touched him. And so I know that death is not the end. There's resurrection life for all who believe in Jesus and who are following him. And he had great comfort in this and great peace. You'll love to read that article if you would. The rest of Christ, the peace of Christ, came upon him. So, just real fast here. Rest. God has always wanted his people to have rest in their souls. He always has. It's always been his desire. In the Old Testament, with the people of Israel, they were in slavery in Egypt, and he said, I'm going to lead you out of there and bring you into the promised land, and when you get there, you're going to have rest. But you know what? It never worked for them. Because when they got to the promised land and everything was going well, they forgot God. And they turned away and went their own way. And then a nation came in and conquered them. And then they said, oh God, help us, help us, help us, God. And God helped them and rescued them. And then when things were going well again, they said, oh well, just forget about God and just go and do their own thing again. They never experienced the deep peace that God wanted them to have. In the New Testament, however, the followers of Jesus really did experience this thing. You find them over and over again. Times were tough for them. Many of them were killed, you know, and martyred in the early church. But here you see like guys like Paul and Silas. They're beaten and they're thrown into prison. And what do? They're singing and they're worshiping the Lord in prison. They had this peace, this rest inside them. And that's what's available to us as well, whatever the circumstances. But you know, in the future, there is a future rest in heaven for all those who love Jesus and receive Jesus and believe in him and follow him. That there's a future of incredible rest in heaven. It's not a time of inactivity. It's not just sitting on a cloud and eating cream cheese, you know, like they say on TV. But it's full of the most joyous activity and purpose that we could ever have, and a time of incredible peace and rest. This is God's desire for us. But now we have to come to the application of this thing. What about now? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What is a yoke? Well, a yoke, everybody in Jesus' time would know. It was like a hunk of wood that was fashioned to go over like the shoulders of, like, let's say, two oxen, okay? And the one oxen would be older and wiser and know the rules. The second one might be younger and learning how to do this kind of thing. But two oxen, and here's some things about the yoke. The two would stay close because they were yoked together. One would be the guide, and the other would learn how to follow, would learn. Like Jesus said, come into my yoke and you'll learn from me, he said. One would lead, and the other would follow, but they'd be side by side. And that the power of the two is not just one plus one. There's synergy there. It's not just one plus one. It becomes more because there's more power because the two are pulling in the same direction at the same time. So it's like two being tethered together for the mutual good, the mutual help, the mutual power, and the mutual guidance of both of them. So what kind of a yoke is this? Jesus says, my yoke is light and easy. I am not a taskmaster with a big whip. Get at it. Work harder. Try harder. Do more. Jesus says, come and learn from me. Get tethered together with me, right beside me. And my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Why? Because he's gentle and humble. It says it in here, right here. That's his character. He's gentle with us. He's humble with us as he leads us. So it means that Jesus is in the yoke right alongside you. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, we enter into this yoke. This is one of the images of what the Christian life is all about. That we're yoked together with the living and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, if you have believed Jesus, accepted him into your heart, and you're following him now, think of it this way, would you? Think of it this way, that here's Jesus, he's got his arm around you. You can think this is what the yoke is like, that he's got his arm right around you, and that he's walking with you, and he says to you, my son, my daughter, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you say, what? Like, you'll never? Yeah, that's what I said. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Is this amazing? We're yoked together with Jesus, side by side. And you say, okay, Jesus, what if I sin? He says, yeah, what if you sin? Your sin, you're in my family now. So your sin, well, look at it this way. Your sin is out here. I see it. You see it. And let's go to work on this together, okay? It's not just up to you. Let's go to work on this sin together. Let's deal with this thing. Let's get it solved. Let's give you the victory. Let's work together on this. And so you say, well, just a minute, doesn't this minimize our sin? I thought our sin came between us and God. This does not minimize sin. It maximizes the power and presence of Jesus in us and beside us and all around us, and gives us this picture of what it means to walk with Jesus and to fight the stuff that leads us astray, because he is with us and he is for us. Last week we talked about some of the metaphors of what it means to be a Christian, and one of them is that we're in Christ. It's kind of a picture of being in the yoke, right? We're linked so together here that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. What a powerful picture. He is in you, and he is with you, and he is beside you, and he's holding on to you. And that's why Jesus says, abiding in Jesus, that we abide in him and he abides in us. As we believe in him, we continue to be empowered and we pull together. This is the life of grace. This is not the life of law anymore that's so weary and heavy burden. It's the life of grace, Jesus with us and beside us. I tell you what, this helps me incredibly. I'm just saying that as I wake up in the morning and I think, oh, Jesus, we're yoked together, aren't we? Let's just go at this together. And it's sort of like he says, yeah, that's exactly it. Come on, let's go. I'm with you. Ah, oh, what a savior. What a friend. He is always with us. And sometimes when we're really weary and heavy laden and we feel like we can't go on, Jesus' arm's still around us. He says, I know. This is where I'm pulling. I'm pulling. You can't pull anymore right now? I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'm pulling with you right now. Suppose you say, well, when I get depressed, then what? Jesus is with us. You say, well, what about if I fail? I mean, I try something and I fail. Jesus says, I'm with you. Come on, let's go. Get up. Here we go. What about if I'm so messed up I need counseling? Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Come on, I'm pulling. Let's go together. Jesus says, come to me. What an invitation. Come to Jesus and be yoked to Jesus forever. How amazing. Can you imagine your life like this? Connected so closely to Jesus' life and his power and his direction forever. And he will never let you go. Oh, what a savior. What a friend. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's Jesus. Make it so. Can you see yourself this way? If you're a believer in Jesus, this is a truth for you. And if you're not a believer or follower of Jesus, would you hear his invitation this morning? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I want to teach you. I want to walk with you because I'm gentle and humble of heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to read this to you from the Message. Just a little more elaboration. Are you tired? Jesus speaking. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. You see his arm around you? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is good news. How we thank you, and it's like this is amazing, almost unbelievable, except that you were really here, you really said these words, you really threw out this invitation, and it's for us to believe it and receive it and live in it. Would you help us, Lord, this morning as followers of Jesus, to follow you like this, to always remember you every morning, every day. Here you are, right beside us, right with us, yoked together. You're pulling, you're leading. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to you. Here's the thing, that our heart would be open to you, never pulling away from you, but always looking to you, because this is the new heart you've put in us, to love you better, to follow you more, to obey you in all things, because your way's really the best way. So, Lord, help us to see this and to count it as true and real for us, we pray. And for those who don't know you, who are weary and heavy burdened, oh, Lord, help them to step into faith, the doors wide open, to come to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.